Ripeness by Sarah Moss. Read by Flora Montgomery. Stories you tell yourself. Yes, Edith says. Yes, yes. As if he might stop if she stopped saying it. As if they were of the generation for whom consent is necessarily verbal and valid only in the moment of utterance. As if her body and his were not already saying it. Together. To each other. Yes, because it is English that comes to hand, to mouth, that comes. Because it was English in which she gave birth, and English in which she will die. Yes, we, ja, sie. His hands, clay hardened, steel sinewed, crush the bird bones of her wrists. Break them, she thinks. Break me. Yes, no, and then thinking stops in soft explosion. No, no, yes. And she holds her mind away from the lines of poetry, crossing it like a banner behind an aeroplane. Every woman adores a fascist, the boot in the face, the brute, brute heart of a brute like you. He lets her arch her back. Bridge. Every woman should do yoga. Deep, deeper. And she hears herself exclaim, wordless. Afterwards, he lies over her. So she works to breathe. Thinks about her ribs trying to expand into him. About her lungs constrained, the air they want. About his hip bone on hers, bone on bone, connective tissue. His hands still closed on her arms, and when she tries to move, tissues, her side, he grips. No, he says. And they both feel her quiver. Of course Gunther's not a fascist. Not unless you wanted to say his politics are so far to the left, he's come round the other side. Up against the international dateline where communism and fascism border. His veganism is on that border. A purity cult, as well as a sacrifice for the collective good. He celebrates poverty, as people do only when it is, or was, a choice. And the cottage he bought for a few hundred quid 50 years ago is now a substantial asset. No boots, anyway. He takes off his shoes at the door, which is more than you can say for most local visitors. Not that Gunther isn't local. Here all his adult life. But neither of them will ever be counted local, nor their children's children under the seventh generation. Passports and voting are one thing. Who you really are is another. Especially if you're English. Especially if you're Jewish. Not that Gunther has children, and her Pat, she'll call him later, or tomorrow, is in London. Gunther's grip slackens. His skull rolls into hers. Funny the way men always go to sleep afterwards. Whatever needs doing next, however odd the position, like babies. She remembers Pat, preschool, didn't want a nap, wasn't tired, had better things to do than going to bed. And then he'd fall asleep on the wooden floor, a toy car still in his hand. She used to tuck a pillow under his floppy head, put one of those waffle blankets with the silky edging over him, stroke his hair, watch him, the small miracle of his breath and being, and then steal across the room for the book she kept close by, just in case the day gave her reading time. No point wasting a child's sleep on housework. She rearranges their limbs, decides she likes the weight of Gunther enough, for now, not to roll him off and wake him. Adjusts the pillows so she can watch the cloud shadows crossing the hill outside, see the weather coming up the valley. She's not properly English or Jewish. Not that being improperly English and Jewish makes her Irish just because she lives here. She's naturalized, officially, has the passport to prove it. But what does that word mean? You wouldn't need to say naturalized, would you, if the situation were really natural? You can't by definition make something natural when it's not. Natural from natare, to be born, not an act that can be undone or revised. Assimilation from similis, same root as similar and simulation, alike but unlike.